Hello, and welcome to a new episode of The Best of Things That Go Bump in the Night. This is JC Bratton coming to you from San Jose, California. In this episode, I'm going to focus on the appeal of slasher horror and five reasons why we love the slasher horror genre. Let's begin with a clip from an interview with Richard Ramirez, one of the most infamous serial killers in modern history.
You have now entered a very rare group of people in this country. You're in the ranks of Charlie Manson, Ted Bundy. You claim you didn't commit these murders, but you're right in there now as far as everybody else is concerned.
Serial killers do on a small scale what governments do on a large one. They are a product of the times, and these are bloodthirsty times.
We have a dark fascination with serial killers. On Netflix, over the course of the Martin Luther King holiday weekend a few years ago, the number two most popular pick was Night Stalker, The Hunt for a Serial Killer, which was a docuseries about Richard Ramirez, who slaughtered countless women, men, and children in the mid-1980s. Also, among the top 20 podcasts for the year were Crime Junkie, My Favorite Murderer, Morbid, a True Crime Podcast, and Dateline. And their podcasts are heavily based in true crime and unsolved mysteries. So we know their names: Jack the Ripper, Ed Gein, John Wayne Gacy, the Zodiac Killer, the Hillside Strangler, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer. Serial killers live in infamy, yet they are also steeped in a strangely erotic appeal. It's no wonder that authors and filmmakers embrace the psychotics as stars of many horror franchises, such as Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, Leatherface, Norman Bates. List goes on and on. So what's the appeal? We can actually turn to science for some potential answers. The first is primal instincts. Criminologist Scott Bond pointed out that slasher killers appeal to the most basic and powerful instinct, survival. The total disregard for life and the suffering of others exhibited by serial killers shocks our sense of humanity and makes us question our safety and security. This questioning of safety and security leads to primal fears. According to psychologists, fear is a vital response to physical and emotional danger that has been pivotal throughout human evolution, particularly in ancient times when humans rarely faced life or death situations. It's paradoxical in a sense that we want to shy away from things that make us afraid, yet horror fiction and film naturally draw us in. When it comes to potential threats to our humanity, we seem to be conditioned to pay extra close attention. Dr. Carl Albrecht, a physicist and executive management consultant, indicated that fear can be broken down into five fundamental forms: extinction, mutilation, loss of autonomy, separation, and ego death. So if we think about slasher horror, we can easily find examples in these forms of fear. First, extinction. Survival kicks into high gear. Somebody dangerous with a knife is coming after you, and it triggers that innate fear. Hence, you scream and run for the hills. Second, mutilation. Losing a body part is obviously very painful. We cringe when we learn about people being brutally murdered and dismembered. Third, loss of autonomy. If we think about Laurie Strode from the Halloween franchise, she was living in fear of Michael Myers. There was no freedom. She couldn't escape from him. Next, separation. Paul? Where's Paul? Jenny from Friday the 13th Part 2 questioned at the end of the movie as she was gurneyed into the back of an ambulance after her battle with the pre-hockey mask version of Jason Voorhees. Obviously, losing a friend, particularly one she was romantically involved with, would strike fear in her heart. And lastly, ego death. A complete loss of oneself. If you go back to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Sally completely loses it after being tormented by Leatherface and his family. She can never be the same again. Next is morbid curiosity. Psychotic killers are inexplicable and have no clear, consistent motive. They are driven by inner demons. Their crimes are exotic and tantalizing, resulting in a morbid, intense curiosity by everyday people to comprehend the incomprehensible. With regards to true crime, for example, Dr. Catherine Ramsland, PhD, a professor at DeSales University, explains, "Part of our love of true crime is based on something very natural, curiosity. People reading or watching a true crime story are engaged on several levels. They are curious about who would do this, They want to know the psychology of the bad guy or girl or team. They want to know something about the abhorrent mind. They also love the puzzle, figuring out how it was done. Next, confronting fears. Witnessing destructive behaviors could possibly be beneficial as a coping mechanism or learning to confront our fears. In an excerpt, Dr. John Mayer, clinical psychologist at Doctor on Demand, explained that the healthy mechanism of watching disasters is that it's a coping mechanism. We can become incubated emotionally by watching disasters, and this helps us cope with the hardships in our lives. We may be fascinated with violence and destruction as a way of assessing how we would handle ourselves if we were put in a similar situation. Iconic horror master Wes Craven, who brought us Freddy Krueger, stated in a 2006 interview, "The most civilized countries can do the most uncivilized things, or they appear to be perfectly normal, but can be deadly or frightening or whatever. All kids want to feel like that they can overcome the worst monster. So films that show the worst monster attacking teenagers is perfect fare because they can sort of identify with the characters that they're facing the worst." Next, adrenaline rush. The reason we love slasher horror could be that it takes us out of the mundane, an adrenaline rush. In an LA Times article, psychologist Linda Hamilton, of no relation to our Terminator series Final Girl, states that the euphoria is natural. Halloween and scary movies, scaring people being scared is not boring. We are attracted to these things that are unusual. How many people slow down and look at an accident? It's just not something you see every day. You're getting that adrenaline rush of being scared and the positive feelings of accomplishment and relief reward. If we're watching a scary movie, we project our feelings about evil onto the bad guy. When that person is defeated, it makes us feel good. Last, the human experience. Whether rooted in fiction or reality, it seems to be a rite of passage in the human experience to be drawn to that psychotic, unstoppable force that wants to end our life. Wes Craven's vision of horror sheds light on humanity. In his quote, he said, "I think a necessary part of human expression is to talk about the possibilities of violence from human beings, one to the other. It happens all the time, so why shouldn't there be films about it? I would hope that, in this case, A Nightmare on Elm Street, would be seen as a body of work that was sympathetic towards the human race. At the same time, it held up a mirror to some of its darker facets where we should take an honest look."